emphatic denials and in the face of growing evidence, Iran admits it did shoot down a Ukrainian jetliner when it was misidentified as hostile shortly after it took off from Tehran's international airport. Everyone aboard was killed. Iranian officials say it was a case of human error and a catastrophe. President Hassan Rouhani has offered his condolences to the families of victims and ordered what he called all responsible departments to, quote, take any necessary measure to compensate for their loss. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei called for an investigation into the Iranian army to place guilt, and a military statement said those responsible for the shootdown would be prosecuted. The general in charge of the Revolutionary Guard air defenses said today he was taking full responsibility for the tragedy. Here's AP's Mike Gracia.
Iran is calling the shootdown of a Ukrainian jetliner by its military unintentional. The admission of responsibility by Iran was announced Saturday, as Iran was facing mounting international suspicion for the incident in which all 176 people on board were killed. In Washington, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had bluntly stated Friday,
"We do believe that it's likely that that plane was shot down by an Iranian missile."
On Thursday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said much the same.
"The evidence indicates that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile."
At least 63 Canadians died in the shootdown. The Ukrainian jetliner went down just hours after Iran launched a series of missiles at U.S. targets in Iraq, retaliating for the killing of a top Iranian general. Mike Gracia, Washington.
U.S. President Donald Trump says Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, in his final days, was planning to attack four American embassies. Mr. Trump appeared in a Fox News Channel interview on the Ingram Angle Friday night, and he identified one of those four facilities.
"We will tell you that probably it was going to be the embassy in Baghdad."
From Washington, this is VOA News. Taiwanese voters went to the polls today, casting ballots in presidential and legislative elections. The voting followed months of signs that China was trying to build up its political influence on the island that Beijing claims is a fallen away Chinese province. 63-year-old Tsai Ing-wen is favored to win re-election to a second term as president. She is known for her tough line on mainland China. Bushfire conditions on Australia's east coast have eased somewhat, and authorities say they expect at least a week of milder weather, and that should help firefighters. Meanwhile, climate control activists in Australia are waging a campaign against the use of fossil fuels, and Prime Minister Scott Morrison is a special target. Phil Mercer reports for VOA from Sydney.
"Sack the Prime Minister," they chanted, as demonstrators turned on Australia's Conservative leader, Scott Morrison. He's accused of not taking global warming seriously and of underplaying its role in the bushfire emergency. Protesters believe that fossil fuel-loving politicians have overseen decades of climate destruction. They want the Morrison government to phase out the use of fossil fuels. That's unlikely, given their immense value to the Australian economy. Coal generates much of the nation's electricity and earns billions of dollars through exports to China, India, and other countries.
That was Phil Mercer reporting for VOA from Sydney. Britain has sparked a diplomatic standoff with Washington by requesting the extradition of an American woman charged in a traffic crash that killed a UK teenager. AP correspondent Zaria Shackley is in London.
The British government said late Friday it had formally asked for Anne Sokoulas to be sent to the UK to face a charge of causing death by dangerous driving. The US State Department called the request highly inappropriate because it says Sokoulas had diplomatic immunity at the time of the crash. Harry Dunn, 19, died in August after his motorbike collided with a car driven by Sokoulas outside RAF Croughton, a British military base in central England used by US forces. Sokoulas, whose husband was an intelligence officer at the base, claimed diplomatic immunity and returned to the U.S. soon afterwards. Zaria Shackley, London.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in Moscow for talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. It was expected they would focus on the Iran crisis. Both Germany and Russia have called for de-escalation following the U.S. targeted killing of General Qasem Soleimani and Tehran's retaliatory airstrikes on two military bases in Iraq, which put American lives in jeopardy. Putin hosts Merkel shortly after returning from a trip to Damascus, Syria this week, only his second visit there since Russia intervened in 2015 to aid President Bashar al-Assad in Syria's civil war. More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
We have tried up to this far, as the Lesotho Mounted Police says, to remain astute as a professional police. I can assure them that what we are doing has nothing to do with political inclinations. It is only police job and police job only.
The Lesotho police seek to arrest First Lady Maiseia Thabane as a ruling party faction demands the resignation of Prime Minister Dr. Thomas Thabane.
Anti-corruption efforts, be they from the Audit Service Commission, be they from the Anti-Corruption Commission or the ongoing commissions of inquiry, are not a witch hunt. They are about the previous administration as much they are about incumbents.
Sierra Leonean President Julius Maada Bio suspends senior government officials over graft allegations.
And what my party is insisting on is that in as much as Professor Mahmoud Yakubu will proceed to announce results that are clearly and magnificently compromised, his commission, under his leadership, is hugely compromised.
And the Nigerian main opposition party demands a total overhaul of the country's electoral system ahead of the next general election. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The Lesotho police are seeking to arrest First Lady Maiseia Thabane, who is allegedly on the run, according to Police Commissioner Holomo Molebele. He says the police are still looking to arrest the First Lady for questioning over the assassination of the estranged wife of Prime Minister Dr. Thomas Thabane. The Prime Minister's second wife, Lupelelo Thabane, was shot and killed in 2017. The police say the First Lady absconded when officers went to carry out a court-issued arrest warrant for her. Police Commissioner Holomolo Molebele tells me they have also officially written to the Prime Minister to assist in the investigation of the murder of his estranged wife.
In fact, it's an assassination. That is a murder case which occurred in June 2017, whereby the current Prime Minister's estranged wife was assassinated before the inauguration of the current Prime Minister as a Prime Minister.
So who is the suspect? And I understand there was a warrant that the police were supposed to carry out last night to arrest the suspect. Who is it and how are you going about it?
The Prime Minister has another wife. So we wanted to stage an interview with that wife, she is currently the first lady, to clarify some issues concerning our investigation. Hence, the warrant of apprehension from the court yesterday.
Are you willing to speak with the Prime Minister as well concerning this investigation you are undertaking?
Yes. We have written to the Prime Minister to clarify some of the pertinent issues in the investigation.
Were you able to carry out the apprehension following your application to the court?
No, she has absconded and we are still looking around for her.
So what is the message to the people of Lesotho from the police? Because some people suspect that because she is so powerful, the First Lady, the police would not be able to do its work. What is your message to them?
The message from the police is that no one is above the law. And we should respect the law, all of us, and they must stay calm and trust the police that will do their job professionally.
Commissioner Holombo, some people have expressed concern that the police could be persuaded or pressured, politically speaking, because there seem to be a political undercurrent in what you are doing. What assurances are you giving the people of Lesotho concerning these concerns?
We have tried up to this far, as the Lesotho Mounted Police Service, to remain astute as a professional police service. I can assure them that what we are doing has nothing to do with political inclinations. It is only police job and police job only.
Holomo Molibeli is the Lesotho Police Commissioner. He spoke with me from the capital, Maseru. Meanwhile, a faction of the Lesotho governing party, the All Basotho Convention, or ABC, is demanding the immediate resignation of Prime Minister Thomas Tabani. Max Masuecha, the spokesperson for the ABC faction, led by Professor Nkosa Mahau, says the resignation of the Prime Minister will enable the police to carry out an unhindered, independent and thorough investigation into the assassination of his estranged wife in 2017. Lipolelo Tabani, the estranged wife, was shot dead on her way home while driving with a friend days before the installation of Thomas Tabani as the Prime Minister of Lesotho. To learn more about the demands for the resignation of the Prime Minister, I reach Max Masuecha, spokesperson for the ABC faction led by Nkosa Mahau.
The National Executive Committee of the party met, and among the discussions that was on the table was the prevailing situation in the country that has been caused by the actions of the Prime Minister, who is the leader. Therefore, the decision was taken there, no, we should rise, write and make statement as the National Executive Committee for the Prime Minister to step down as the Prime Minister and as the party of which he put him there as the leader. Hence why the press conference was held yesterday, which showed the intention and the decision of the National Executive Committee that the Prime Minister has to resign to allow the smooth investigation by the law enforcement agencies of his actions. Hence why you know about this.
But some people are suggesting that these are mere allegations and that there has to be proof beyond all reasonable doubt before the Prime Minister could be called to step down for a thorough investigation to be carried out to ensure that the perpetrators of this act to murder his estranged wife will be punished according to Lesotho law.
Yes. Actually, the phone number that was communicating with the assassin, the phone number that gave the assassin the instruction to kill that wife, belongs to the Prime Minister. And the investigation was done with the Lesotho Police, with the assistance of South Africa, SADC, and FBI. The audio clip is there. Therefore, the Prime Minister was only called to elaborate how did it come about for his telephone call to be involved in that communication. Therefore, that was the only thing that he was requested to come to the police for. But he decided to cause this row of suspending the commissioner of police. Therefore, by so doing, it gave the nation the impression that no, he is fully involved. Why doesn't he want to assist the police? Hence why the call for his resignation was made.
Some people are suggesting that this is a personal thing for Professor Nkosa because he is battling for leadership of the position with Dr. Thomas Tabani. So he's using this as a pretext to get rid of Prime Minister Tabani so he will become the next Prime Minister. Is this why you are defending what is going on?
No. The decision was not taken by Nkosa Mahau. It was taken by the National Executive Committee Collective. Before then, the civil society in Lesotho or the non-governmental organization met, five of them collectively, they issued the statement which is similar to this one even before we can issue ours.
But isn't the party divided? So the national executives you're talking about are the national executives that support members that support Professor Mahau or the national executives for the entire party? Because as it stands now, the ABC, the governing party, is divided.
Yes, but last year in September, the head of administration of the party is the Secretary General, who is in our section with Nkosa Mahau, and we called the special conference of 81 constituents. The report was given to them, and the special conference resolved that the Prime Minister, who is the leader, has to be suspended from the party to doing the party work for 6 years. The Deputy Secretary General, the Treasurer General, and the minute-taking person, and the Deputy National Chairperson, the special conference resolved that no, they should be dismissed from the National Executive Committee because they failed to comply with the decision of the conference. Therefore, we filled in those positions of those people, four people other than this one of the leader. And in terms of our constitution, there are 10 representatives from the 10 districts of the country, And those people have been elected because the term for the previous ones expired.
The faction that supports the Prime Minister have rejected this call for Prime Minister Tabari to resign, saying that Professor Mahao is not even an ABC member and that he is a member of the PFD. And so he seeks to destabilize the country by calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Thomas Tabari and confusing the people of Lesotho.
No, no. Mahao's membership is known to his own branch and constituencies. And the constituency proved beyond reasonable doubt that Mahao qualifies as a member of the ABC by membership that was taken at the end of 2014. Therefore, the issue of being a non-member of the ABC is utterly nonsense.
So what is the next step forward now that the executives from your faction is demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Tom Tabani and the other faction is saying they are not budging and they are rejecting it? What's the next step forward?
No, no, we are taking control. We are in control of the party now. The members of parliament now are obliged to take the direct and the mandate from the National Executive Committee of the party. Therefore, Tom Tabana will step down. I'm telling you, he will step down. Because as a leading coalition partner, we have liaised with our coalition partners that he must step down. And it will happen. Whether that faction of lunatics and the corrupt people who are behind him, whether they like it or not, he will step down.
Max Masuecha is the spokesperson for a faction of the Lesotho ruling party or Basotho Convention or ABC. He spoke with me from Maseru. The Sierra Leonean President Julius Maada Bio has suspended senior public officials of the administration over allegations of corruption. In a press release late Friday night, the president suspended the officials to pave way for the Anti-Corruption Commission to carry out an inquiry over the allegations of graft in relation to bags of rice the Chinese government donated to Sierra Leone. Sierra Leonean Information Minister Mohamed Rahman Sware tells me the suspension and the investigation form part of the president's zero tolerance for corruption in the West African country.
By a press release issued under the hand of the Secretary to the President, the former Minister of Basic and Senior Secondary Education, Honorable Alpha Timbo, now Minister of Labor and Social Security, and his former deputy together with two senior government officials, have today been relieved of their official duties to allow for unhindered investigations into what the press described as the mishandling of a large consignment of rice donated to the government of Sierra Leone by the Chinese government. These investigations are ongoing, and the president took this unprecedented step to underscore his anti-corruption drive and to foster the campaign for accountability and transparency, which are hallmarks of his administration.
Well, some people are saying that perhaps the president could have allowed them to step aside instead of the full, kicking them out of the government to allow for an investigation to go on. What do you say to that?
Peter, the press release is very clear. In the very final statement, it indicates that this decision stands until further notice. What I get from the press release is that they have been suspended to allow the Anti-Corruption Commission to do its work so that they can have unfettered access to all the available evidence in their investigations. So at the end of the investigations, if they are found not to have committed any offenses, it will be His Excellency's discretion to take the necessary actions. But it is not fait accompli that they have been sacked, as has been widely misunderstood by members of the public.
What are they alleged to have done? Did they misappropriate or mishandle or perhaps take for themselves the rice gift by the Chinese government to the government in Sierra Leone?
That is exactly the reason for the anti-corruption investigations. So at this point, I can neither confirm nor deny all of the various schools of thought, whether it was just mishandling, it was misappropriation, or arrogated to themselves. That is why the jury is out there. I'm sure at the conclusions of the anti-corruption commission investigation, all this will be laid bare and clear for citizens to see. Because this government is very heavy on accountability and transparency. President Bill wants to leave a proud legacy of an accountable and transparent administration. Remember, he's always mentioned corruption has bedeviled this country for far too long. It is choking the development process, and therefore anything that has a semblance of corruption, anything that is not quite clear, particularly when it becomes public interest, is something he is quite committed to investigating and bringing greater clarity to it for members of the public.
So what is the president's message here?
The message is simple. This is to assure those who need reassurance that the anti-corruption fight is in steep gear, it's taken to another level, and to warn those who need warning that in this 2020 year, which President Bill has delivered as a year of delivery, he will take no prisoners as far as it concerns corruption. It also should send a loud and clear signal to the opposition that the anti-corruption efforts, be they from the Audit Service Commission, be they from the Anti-Corruption Commission, or the ongoing commissions of inquiry, are not a witch hunt. They are about the previous administration as much they are about incumbents. So they should rest assured the processes will be free and fair and free from fear.
Will there be a time frame for the Anti-Corruption Commission to investigate this incident?
I can assure you this is meant and intended to be a brisk investigation, but that will not sacrifice the effectiveness and efficiency of the whole process. Once that is done, the Anti-Corruption Commission will officially publish the findings of the investigations. Their outreach team, together with the Ministry of Information and Communications outreach team, will now take the message, the outcome of those investigations, to every nook and cranny, including government's reaction to it. So that is the next step we await in this whole process. But I like to use this opportunity to assure all and sundry that this process will be fair. It will delve into the very key issues around the investigations, and the public will be duly informed as and when it's concluded.
Mohamed Rahman Sowore is the Sierra Leonean Information Minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Freetown. Ugandan parliamentarian Robert Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, says he is rescheduling his public consultation program as part of his presidential campaign. This following a meeting with representatives from the Electoral Commission and the police. In a recent meeting, the stakeholders tried to resolve the concerns of the opposition People's Power Movement as well as those of the police, which many believe led to the crackdown of Bobi Wine's public outreach effort. To learn more about the plans for Bobi Wine's public consultation efforts, I read Joel Senyonyi, spokesperson for the People Power Movement.
We thought of engaging the Electoral Commission, and as we were working on how to go about that, they got in touch with us requesting to meet, and we met them today, the Electoral Commission, which is in charge of this process because it's part of the electoral process. All the commissioners in the same meeting were senior police officers, and we were raising critical concerns. We were raising complaints about this process and how we have been unfairly treated. And we came through with a couple of resolutions where police were conceding that a couple of things have not been right. And they're hoping that they'll be done better, that police will not come out and frustrate our activities in an illegal manner, beating up people, arresting others, asking for ridiculous demands. In some cases, they're telling us if you're to hold the activity, make sure you have an ambulance, a fire truck, you have sniffer dogs, and all these different things. And so we're saying, please stop making these ridiculous demands. You're just intending to frustrate us. Besides, these demands are not provided for within the law, and police did concede. And we're also saying that there should be no violence against journalists, many of whom have been beaten, arrested. The other day I was arrested, locked up in a police cell for 2 days, and there were journalists there too.
Talking about pledging, did they make any firm commitment that the police will no longer
prevent you from going ahead with your consultations, because this is not the first time your group has said that police has frustrated you. Opponents of the administration have said similar things. Did the police make a firm commitment that if you embark on your next round of consultations or rescheduled consultations, there wouldn't be any problem?
Yes, they gave us their words. Obviously, they have many times before given us their words and gone against it. We are hoping this will not be one of those. We are hoping that this happens cordially, that we don't have to end up pulling ropes, engaging legally and all of that. We are hoping, really, that they will observe the law and not come out to just frustrate our activities. So let's see what happens. Of course, like you're saying, we have been let down by them before, but we're giving them another chance. Hopefully they will not blow it, and then we end up in a mess or court or whatever the case might be. All of that is unnecessary and called for. So let's hope that they will keep their word. Will they? I don't know. Let's wait and see.
So when do you plan on going back to undertake your consultations following the disruption as you described a moment ago?
So we're going to have a meeting tomorrow with my colleagues, and we are going to draw a new city hall together. And we are hoping that we'll be done with that soon enough. And then, in a short while, we'll have it out, notify all the relevant authorities, and we'll hit the ground running.
What do you say to some concerned Ugandans who say that by rescheduling your consultations, you have lost the psychological battle with the police because they supported you in your legal consultations after being cleared by the Electoral Commission, as well as the police, notifying the police as the law demands? How do you react to such concerns?
Look, my brother, this really is not a question of who wins what battle and so on. We are interested in meeting Ugandans, reaching out to them, interacting with them. And that's why we are doing everything possible for this to happen within the law. Because you see, for us, we are law-abiding, and we don't want to go into confrontations and bloodletting like the current president did, Mr. Museveni. You know, when he took up rent with the regime that was there then, he picked up guns, went to the bush, said blood, that's how he took power. We are different. We are not like that. And so sometimes where there is opportunity to engage, you engage. You give chance to engaging and dialoguing and see what happens. So that's why we did this today. We gave chance to dialogue, and let's hope they're not abusing that.
Did the police give you the real reason behind the detention? Because they detained you, as well as Robert Kyagulanyi and other supporters, including members of parliament who were part of the consultation process.
Well, of course, they trump up charges and say fighting violence, no free assembly. They trump up all manner of things. Yeah, but really, what Mr. Museveni, our current and outgoing president, doesn't want is for us to interact with Ugandans, because Ugandans have had enough of him. 34 years, that's too long a time. Ugandans have had enough of him. And so anybody, any of his opponents that go out and interact with Ugandans, he does not want that. Never mind that he goes around the country interacting with Ugandans. Currently, he's been doing a walk in a couple of areas. I meet people, dishes out money, taxpayers' money, and so on. So he can easily move around the country, campaign with taxpayers' money, but we can't move around the country. And so we're saying what's good for the good should be good for the Uganda.
Joel Senyonyi is the spokesperson for the Ugandan Opposition People Power Movement. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala.
Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
And you are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, the spokesperson for Nigeria's main opposition People's Democratic Party, or PDP, says the entire electoral system needs urgent reform. Kola Ologbodiyan says the PDP is vindicated following criticisms by Professor Mahmood Yakubu, chairperson for the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, over the deployment of security officers during last year's general election. At a consultative meeting about elections security held in the capital, Abuja, Yakubu expressed concern about the deployment of security officers in the 2019 general election. For reaction regarding the deployment of security in the last elections, I reached Kola Ologbodiyan, spokesperson for the Nigerian main opposition People's Democratic Party, or the PDP.
The PDP brought out a law that shows clearly that the military cannot participate in the electoral process. But because the entire process was meant to be compromised, even the INEC chairman did not listen. As far as we are concerned in the People's Democratic Party, the INEC chairman is just pandering to the position of Mr. President and members of his party, except in situations where they know it, that there is no way he can rig in favor of the ruling party. It is rather unfortunate that INEC, and we have said this over and over, under Professor Mahmood Yakubu, has become a hugely compromised electoral commission. And until Mr. President signs the bill as passed by the 8th Assembly into law, or repropose it to the National Assembly for further amendments that will meet current exigencies, we can't find the future of electioneering in Nigeria. And that is why the PDP is insisting on a total reformation of our electoral process.
Is the PDP saying that the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, is not independent?
It is not independent. As a matter of fact, we believe that it is hugely compromised. A few days ago, President Muhammadu Buhari had a meeting with INEC and the Inspector General of Police, where he was given instructions that subsequent elections must suit the interests and desires of Nigerians. Strangely, and very strangely too, Mr. President had made similar promises in the past, and when elections came, nothing happened. For instance, in the last governorship election in Bayelsa and Kogi State, it was hugely and heavily compromised to an extent that the police helicopter was used to chase out voters who came out to vote on the election day. What can be more than that? And yet, INEC went ahead compromisingly and declared results in those areas. There's nothing independent about this INEC. Nothing, absolutely nothing independent. I say, and my party also hold that position, that this is the worst INEC chairman in our electoral history in Nigeria.
Some people are saying that the deployment of security officers during the election was not only to protect officers who were manning the polls, but was also to ensure that the polls were peaceful and that those who were ballot snatching and those who were creating confusion and violence would be brought to the barest minimum, which they said occurred during elections.
That is totally incorrect. The governorship election in River State was a battle between the military and the state governor. The elections that were held in Kogi and Bayelsa, notwithstanding the totality of the number of security men that were deployed, they came to aid the interests of the APC. They did not come to protect the ballot in any way. These are facts. And painfully, even in situations where elections were credible, the police went there and fired gunshots and dispersed voters and electoral officers. And yet results were collated. INEC collated and announced such results under Professor Mahmood Yakubu. And as far as the PDP is concerned, we have begun the campaign for electoral reforms. And we mean reforms, not directives from Mr. President.
What do you say to critics who are saying that your criticism of the INEC, and for that matter, its chairman being compromised, is not fair because the chairman's criticism of the deployment of security officers during the elections shows leadership, not only leadership, but also the fact that he is independent of what the powers that be did during the elections. What do you say to that?
That is a completely misplaced criticism of our party. The position of our party, which everybody in INEC knows, and which INEC has even come out to say after the last two elections, Bayelsa and Kogi, that the processes did not meet the standard of elections. The INEC chairman, Professor Mahmoud Yakubu, is an umpire. He is not supposed to have a leaning to either of the sides. But what we are saying, and what my party is insisting on, is that inasmuch as Professor Mahmoud Yakubu will proceed to announce results that are clearly and magnificently compromised, his commission, under his leadership, is hugely compromised.
Kola Ologbodiyan is the spokesperson for the Nigerian main opposition People's Democratic Party. He spoke with me from the capital, Abuja. The South Sudanese Drug and Food Control Authority has recalled a number of medicines imported from two Chinese companies because the drugs do not meet international standards. The directive follows a similar medicine recall last month issued by the Uganda National Drug Authority. For VOA, Dimo Silva Arelio reports from the South Sudanese capital, Juba.
The recall stops the use of all medicines manufactured by Grand Pharmaceutical Limited and Sejang Ruisin Pharmaceutical Company Limited. Mawen Atem, Secretary General of the South Sudan Drug and Food Control Authority, says the Joint Medical Stores, which is a non-governmental organization in Uganda that procures and distributes medicines, send alerts to all neighboring countries about the substandard medicines made in China. A January 6 letter from the South Sudan Drug and Food Control Authority lists the medicines and directs drug suppliers who buy and ship the medicines to immediately return those medicines for credit and provide replacement drugs. The list of the recalled drugs from the two companies include an oxytocin injection, a diclofenac injection, a quinine injection, a cloxacillin injection, a vitamin B injection, and a 25-milligram capsule of tetracycline, among others. Mawen says his agency wants all pharmacies, drug stores, and other health facilities across the country to screen their shipments for any medication manufactured by the two Chinese companies and report the medication to the Drug and Food Control Authority.
We are notifying the people who might come across that day so that they report it to us. Meanwhile, on our own, we are also alerting our inspectors at the ports of entry to make sure that whatever enters, they must have to make sure that these two companies do not have those products entering either individually or by any means.
Mawen says JMS will compensate dealers who bought medicine from the companies. He says South Sudanese consumers of pharmaceuticals from hospitals and other facilities should not take medicines manufactured by these companies.
The pharmaceutical outlets that bought the medicines can be refunded, given others. So sometimes if they know that they brought it in the right way, then they will notify us. And then also the companies that sold those products to them, we will have to make sure that our people are compensated in those forms, provided that they hold those things and they show that this is what we bought. We use something, but this is what is still there.
Atem says all drug manufacturers must comply with international standards to ensure they produce quality medicine.
It was discovered through the inspection that they were not abiding with the requirement of the good manufacturing practice. So here, you can convince the authority again that I can manufacture good medicines while you don't have that requirement. So that is one trick that actually the inspection.
Daniel Sedesigi, manager of Yonana Pharmaceutical Company in Juba's customs market, says he received the recall notice today but did not stock any medicine from either company.
I saw these two companies, Jinjin and the Grand Pharma. We are not using from them. We are free. Even when we are bringing the medicine before we are ordering, we are communicating with the companies. We have informed them we don't want to take medicine. We want to buy a high prices because if you give us bad medicine, is risky for us.
Uganda's National Drug Authority says the guidelines for a recall involve medications that could cause serious adverse reactions not stated in the package insert, unacceptable high frequency of adverse reactions, which are mentioned in the package insert or incorrect labeling and incorrect formulation. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
And right now, it's time for music from our African collection. You're hearing from Grandma with Perfect Plan, followed by Asley with Chuki Yemi Alade, then with number one, Oliver Mtunkuzi with Todi, and then Rima ends it all with Touch My Body.
Shanga, see you. Out to say many na kibwe. nakata mwani dai siwa dai ila na shanga mwanani chukia chuki zisizo sababu mwana tinya mbuzi kafari ili asile apote ona wanavyo mwaka he ya Mungu Baba unitete wana miriki mafogi fogi wana shinana na midongote wana wish hata nishiwe kodi ni tange tange wanizome ni mnyonge nililie nani kama si wewe kisa toke wanafania waniondoe ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo mafungu saba riziki unagawa tu manani wengine labda wanataka kushindana nawe mpaka napiga magoti namlilia mama mama kisha narudi kwako umlaze salama sawa nyinyi manoti noti utakutana kiyama nyonge narudi kwako kwako maurana wanachinya mbuzi kafari ili asile apote ona wanavyo mwaga he ya Mungu Baba unitete wana miriki mafogi fogi wana shinana na midongote wana wish hata nishiwe kodi ni tange tange wanizome ni mnyonge nililie nani kama si wewe kisa toke wanafania waniondoe ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo ninajikaza hivyo
Tinkadi. What shall we do?
Tinkadi.
Sinzijan.
What shall we do? Yeah.
Music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sale, producer Saida Hamdoun, and our engineer for today, Desta Wandirad, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, around a flowering tree, one finds many insects. I'm your host, Peter Clotter in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
VOA News, I'm Gene Randall. Despite repeated